Hope you all had a good week. A little bit of rain. We need to pray for a little more. We're hurting. This morning I'd like to tell you a little story. This is a story about a man named Mr. Cotter. Mr. Cotter is from Gloucester, Ohio. Few people will know where that's at. That's my hometown. Mr. Cotter is about 81 years old, and a couple years ago he retired. He used to have a Cotter sign business here in Dayton, Ohio. And his wife died about 2 years ago, so Mr. Cotter went back home for the first time in quite a while, probably 5 to 8 years. And when he went back to Gloucester, Ohio, he saw a horrible-looking town. Probably two-thirds of the businesses are closed, windows all dirty. There's a state route that goes right through the middle of it called Route 78. This really disturbed Mr. Cotter, and he wondered what he could do about it. So Mr. Cotter decided he would clean all the windows and all the businesses that were closed. So he went about, an 81-year-old man, cleaning windows inside and out on every building in Gloucester that was dirty. Now, you wouldn't think that make much of a difference. Well, it really did. Have you ever seen filthy windows where you can't see through? Well, that's the way they were. A couple businesses had burnt down. Nobody ever rebuilt, so you have 6 or 7 businesses, open space, 6 or 8 businesses, open space. In fact, one whole corner is gone where they burnt down over the last 8, 10 years probably. So then Mr. Cotter, being a conscientious man, went to his sister, and his sister used to be my Cub Scout leader when I was a kid. Her name was Jody Moore, so I thought that's quite interesting when I saw the story. They did make national news out of all this. So Mr. Cotter decided, well, what else could I do to help my hometown? It looks horrible. And all of us like where we came from. We're all proud of the area we came from, no matter where it is. You know, where it's a little coal mining town like Gloucester, or a big city, you say, well, I was born in, and that's where you were from. So you're always proud of it. He decided that he would start painting buildings. And he had to go to all these different places and ask for permission to paint these buildings. Well, you know they didn't really want to do it. Only kidding. They were thrilled because the town looked horrible. So he went to local business people, not in Gloucester, because there's nothing there in Gloucester anymore worthwhile. And different people in different areas donated paint. So you know it was leftover paint, whatever it was, he was glad to get. So Mr. Cotter started painting his first building. Before too long, a few other people volunteered. After a while, he had quite a group of volunteers. And within about a year and a half, they had painted about 14 buildings on the main stretch of the town. And as I said, it was donated paint. So please realize, it's not exactly what you want. You feel like you may be in Mexico and part of the town. Part of it's pretty bright. Part of it's normal colors. But I want to tell you, it looks many times better than what it did before Mr. Cotter and the group started. Because of what they've done, they became nationally known, and they have been on TV, national TV. There have been many write-ups about them. But they're continuing to do this because there's probably about, between the homes and the businesses, probably about 60 homes and businesses between the beginning of Gloucester and the end of Gloucester. But I want to tell you, I went back in May for Memorial Day, or just before Memorial Day, put flowers on the graves, and I couldn't believe the difference. Like I said, it's a little psychedelic, some parts of it, but the point is, it's paint, it's fresh, and it looks good. The reason I talk about this story is one man made a difference in a small town of about 2,500 people. One man. Wasn't even living there at the time. But one man made this difference. And you know, he saw something that needed to be done, and he did it. If you turn with me to Matthew 5, let me see. Got the wrong one here. Got the story. Better get on the right page. Matthew 5:16. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's a good thing for us. You see, because Mr. Cotter set a good example for us. Because he saw something that needed to be done. And his light shined before the other people of Gloucester area community. And they finally jumped in and helped. And because of that, their town looks a lot better. But you and I have been given the same thing. We are to be the lights of the world. And we're to be the lights to each other, helping one another. Our calling is a spatial calling. We're to be doers. And that is doers of God's work and God's way of life. And as we realize, we are a spatial people. Because not everybody knows what you and I know. God chose each and every one of us for a specific purpose and a specific reason. And we're to fulfill that. We read about the talents, the parable that we hear. And some people have one talent, some people have two, some people have three, some people have five. God has called you and I to use that talent. We've been called into God's family. We are a family. And we're part of the body, with Jesus Christ and God the Father the head. We fit into this body. And he called you and I for a spatial purpose. And we're to fulfill that purpose. And if we fulfill that purpose, we may have more talents given to us. But we do have a talent. Now, it may not be something spectacular that will affect 20-some hundred people at once. But one day it will be. Your talent will be shown before millions. That you, and I were in this world. And our light was shining to those around us, to those who we work with, to those that we know, family, of what we believe, and we were being a light of God's word and way of life. We were being watched, whether we realized it or not. That's why we're all important to God, because we all represent God in the physical life. Sometimes we take for granted and forget who we are. We're nothing great. He didn't call the great or the mighty. He called us to be trained. He taught us to be sons of his. We're going to be adopted by the living God. That's what I told a friend of mine one time. He said he was adopted. I said, "Wow, that's really nice." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Somebody chose you. They didn't have to. But they said, I want that little boy. I want to raise him. I want to help him." Well, that's what God has done to you and I. He says, "I want her. I want him. I want her. I want him. I want him to be in my family." And just as a loving parent loves their children, God loves us even more. And he wants us to succeed in everything we say and do. What a blessing we have to have such a father. So we need to let our light shine. And the best light that we have is the thing that God talks about the most. If we don't have love, we have nothing. We have to learn to love. Completely and wholeheartedly. Love what? The living God with all of our heart, all of our might. And by doing that, we can learn to love one another and all mankind. Because one day, most of mankind is going to be our brothers and sisters in God's kingdom. Hopefully most of them. I'm sure there'll be a few who will reject. But I'm sure that most, once they understand and see, and if we're doing our part, we'll gladly come into God's family, feeling loved, warmth, and being cared for. So if you turn with me to John 13:35, says John 13:35, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have one for another. That's you and I. If we're disciples of the living God, you and I are going to have love for one another. That means we care about. God loves us so much, He brings us a Sabbath service each week. Why is that? Well, first of all, He wants us to hear His word, to be expounded. He also wants us to be together, to help one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another in whatever way we can. We all have talents, each and every one of us. If we use the talent God has given us with love, you and I are truly going to be a shining light before the congregation, and we'll be living it all of our life and before the world. You and I are blessed in this manner that we are taught weekly. But when we get together, guess what? We intermingle, right? And we learn to care about each other. We find out maybe such and such had a bad week, or such and such sick, they need prayer, or such and such has family problems, whatever it may be, that when we go home, we can pray about it more fervently. Now, is that a talent? You bet. It's showing love and care for the person in trouble. Or if you're talking to them and giving them your ear to listen, maybe not talking, but just listening so they can tell you what it is, that you will understand when you go to God. So when you go to God, you can get down and say, yes, dear God, this person needs this and this, and they've been going through this. I know you know, but please be with them. Help them. Care for them. I had that problem one time. Or I had an uncle who had that problem, or an aunt, or a brother. Your prayers will be more sincere, more heartfelt, and it's love that you're showing. Many people in here are good about sending cards. How many in here has been sick and received a card? Don't raise your hands. Anybody that's really been sick, they usually receive many, many cards. Anyone who's been sick, that really makes you feel good that someone else really cares. They've taken the time out of their day to write you a small note saying you're missed or hope you get well or whatever it may be. But doesn't that make you feel better? Doesn't that make you feel loved? Doesn't it make you feel the family cares? You bet it does. That's a talent. Some people have that talent. Some people never miss anybody. Some people are diligent on that. And we all should be. But some people are really diligent on that. Other people are diligent in serving here in the church, which we talked about a few weeks ago. One point was sound went out, what, a week ago or so? All of a sudden we realized how important sound was. You have a couple men up here, they're running around trying to find out what they can do to make it better so you can hear God's message be explained. We all have a purpose. Some work back on the food line. People prepare food. Each week we have a group that does different weeks, take care of the food back in the back. You know, sometimes we just need to think and pray about those people who are doing jobs that we don't realize because we just take it for granted. We come in, seats are all set up. You know, thank God for that, that you have people who will do this for you and make church service that much more enjoyable for each of us. That's out of love. Love for you, love for the congregation. Because see, when you're doing that, you're doing it for everyone. You're not just doing it for Dave Hemsley or anyone else. You're doing it for the whole congregation. Because if they're just doing it for me or one other person, they just set up two chairs. Think about that. You come in and have to get your own chair. But they don't. It's done for everyone. The snacks. People bring in snacks not just for themselves. No, they bring it in for everyone to enjoy. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad they fixed coffee? Aren't you glad we had the snacks? Doesn't it make it a little bit more enjoyable when you're sitting around after church talking and you have a snack or a drink of a pop or water or coffee or whatever else we have? That's outgoing love and concern. That's what God wants you and I to have. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:13. Of course, you all know this. This is the love chapter, so... (clears throat) Verse 13 in chapter 13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." If we don't have love, we have nothing. That's how important it is. That's why we have to make sure we love our Father so we can learn to love one another. And then we're examples to others. God wants you and I to use the talent or talents that you and I have. You can have the talent of being the friendliest person in church. You can be the person that tries to cheer up other people when you know they're having problems. You can be the person who helps someone who's in trouble, can't walk or has to be in a wheelchair or whatever it may be. You can help. That's showing care and concern for others and not just thinking of self. This world tells you what? I deserve it. That's what they tell you. Listen to advertising. I deserve it. I deserve the best. I deserve you to take care of me. I deserve it because I'm great. If you don't believe it, I'll tell you, I'm great. You know, if you don't believe it, let me tell you more about it. But that's what advertising has been for over 25 years. It's trying to get us, and who's using this? Satan uses it to get people to think only about themselves. And a new generation of children coming up, they think it's all about them. It's all about them. And you and I know it's not all about them. They have a wide awakening coming. When someday somebody isn't telling them how great they are and how wonderful they are. And they can do no wrong. Because you see, God says, we all do wrong, we all sin. And we all must repent, and we all must look to who? The loving God, who gave His only Son. Who gave His only Son. That each of us are here and all mankind will have the opportunity to be in His kingdom. What a blessing you and I have to know God's truth now. We've been called to be first fruits. You realize how wonderful that is? Someday you'll be in God's kingdom and says, "This is my Son whom I'm well pleased," just as He did to Jesus Christ. That's the path He has given you and me. Can you imagine that day? I'm looking forward to it, but I can't imagine how great it will be. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great for each of us. But that's what God is. He loves us so much that He gave His Son, that you and I have the opportunity to be with Him for eternity. And no way because we deserve it. Because the penalty of sin is what? Death. Forgiveness comes from God. A few weeks ago, give you an example of what good host you are, and we are. We what? Hosted the group that went through to go to camp. Many people served. Many people served long hours. Everybody did a different thing. But it took a lot of man hours of serving to make it a good time for who? For someone else. That's love. That's giving. That's caring. We're a very loving congregation. We're very, very loving. But we're not perfect. But we are loving. We are kind. We're hospitable. And that's what God wants us to be to one another. So that hospitality we showed them, they know what He's saying, boy, Dayton really treated us good. They gave us a good meal. We had good conversation. Had good sermons. Met a lot of nice people. Had more brothers and sisters that we know now than we did before. Our light was shining. Your light. Because you cared. Because you served. Because you gave. Whether it be of yourself with them or serving in the line back there or whatever it may be. Because a lot of you brought food. You know. You served an extra about 70 people, I believe we had or so that day. Extra 70 people or so. That's serving. That's what God wants to see. A loving and serving heart. And that's what we're developing. We're developing even more. But that's what we do each week when we come to church. That's why God calls us to church, is to be together, so we can show that love to one another. How blessed we are. Turn to Galatians 5:13, if you will. It says, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but love serve by love serve in one another." Serve one another. That's exactly what he says. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And we can learn to really put others ahead of ourselves, giving time and service. We're doing exactly what God says we should be doing. That's showing love at all times. And it's a lot of times it's hard. You got to realize how the ministry shows love to you and I. But many times they have come out to visit what? You to help you in problems or something else. Or maybe in the middle of the night you've called and wanted anointing cloth. And who shows up? A minister. I've had ministers in my house at 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning. That's service. That's love. And sometimes we just take it for granted. Well, it's just their job. If you don't love your job, you don't do it. How many of you don't really love your job? Would you give overtime for free? When you think about it, they're giving overtime free. Because they're giving 24 hours a day. So we need to appreciate those who serve us in any way. Whether it be from those setting up chairs, to those doing the sound, to those taking care of the board table out there, to the ministry, to anyone that serves us, to our friends who help us. We need to be thankful and realize it's done through love. To love to help, love to give. And when we're doing that, we're truly setting the light that God says we're to set before each other. And we'll do the same thing through the world. Because our light will shine not only here, but throughout the world. You'll give and you'll receive. Now, how many have been in a dire need in any way and had to receive? You know, it's much more fun to give than it is to receive. Because usually if you're having to get, something's wrong, something's been bad, it's a very humbling experience. But giving is just wonderful. Because when you give sometimes, you're not meaning to, but you get much more back out of it. I remember a lady in a church years ago. And she was laid up for 15, 20 years. And you go serve this lady, and by the time you got back, you were more uplifted than she was, and you went to try and uplift her, to visit her and make her feel better. She was blind. She finally gone blind. But she is an inspiration to more people that went to see her, because she was converted. Because she loved that you came and she gave to you. Because she gave you inspiration. That if this lady can be this upbeat, if this lady can be this close to God and feel so wonderful, and she's been laid up in bed for 20 years, blind, and yet she's encouraging me. That's true love. That's true dedication. And I'm sure she'll be in God's kingdom, you know. The fruits of God's Spirit, the number one fruit of God's Spirit is what? Love. Galatians 5:22, the first thing in God's Holy Spirit is love. It has to be. Because, see, God is love. And you and I are to what? Follow Christ's example. And he loved us so much he gave his life for us. And didn't know any of us. But he knew what God wanted. So he did it. So when we see something we can do, whether it be helping in carrying a book for someone, opening a door for someone, or talking to someone, or physically helping in some way, get around, getting them some food, or talking with someone who has a problem, or someone who just needs to talk, you can just tell they need to talk, and you sit there and you stand there or sit there and you listen. You're loving that person. You're giving to that person. Isn't that what God does to you and me when we pray? He doesn't say a word. He listens. He already knows what you and I are going to ask. But he sits there and patiently listens. Because he says, all you have to do is ask, and I will hear. I'm here for you at all times. That's what we have to be for one another. We have to be to one another there at all time. So when you read Matthew 6:33, let's do read Matthew 6:33. It's one you know by heart. Let's do read it. Because this is what we're to be doing. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then these things shall be added to you. And then these things shall be added to you. You'll be in my kingdom. You'll be my son. You'll be forever with me for eternity. Being with the God of love who cares for us at all times. So when we realize what love is, it's an action word. It's a word that means we are to do something. And love is giving. Giving to everyone in here and giving to the world by shedding the light that God has given you and me of his way of life. You and I have been called now. We've been called so we can be first fruits. To understand and feel that love in our hearts and our minds now. When you look at the world many times, I wonder how they go through what they go through without knowing God. I feel sorry for them. The troubles they have. The calamity in their life. If we have a calamity or trouble in life, we can call to God. And he's there. And he loves us and he wants to help us. All we have to do is ask. If we sin, all we have to do is repent. Ask God to forgive. It's gone. It's no longer. It's not written down. It's gone. That's love. He remembers no more. The trouble is sometimes when we sin, we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. And then you go back and you ask God to forgive you, and I know I've done it, so I'm guilty as anyone. And I'm sure God's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I don't have no record of this. That's called having a clean slate, isn't it? That's a nice feeling. That's what we come out of when we go to Passover. I don't know about the rest of you, but every year I always feel like a burden's been lifted, because it has. Because I'm sure there's things that I haven't repented of during the year that I've done wrong. Wrong thoughts, wrong ways. But when I come out of there, I know Jesus Christ. Through his blood and his body. I'm now forgiven. And so are each and every one of you. So we receive the love all the time from God. Let's be sure we have received God's love. Let's be sure that we're using God's love and showing God's love to others. Love is an action word. Just as the man did for Gloucester, Ohio. He loved his hometown. He gave of himself. Wasn't going to receive anything as a reward for it. But you know what? Because of that, his light shines so much, he's received quite a bit of notoriety, and he did not do it for that reason. He did it purely to help someone else. His hometown. So when we show love, we're doing it purely to serve and help someone else, not for notoriety. We're doing it because God says, I'm to show love. So when we think about Matthew 6:33, we will have love for God and we'll love each other. Our calling is sure. Let's be sure we grow in what God tells us, the love for Him and for all mankind.